The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We heard the conclusion of John's Gospel just now, the end of chapter 20. It isn't the end of what we know as John's Gospel. There's still another chapter. But there's very strong evidence that that chapter, 21, was added to the original work by a later writer. This is the conclusion. And conclusions are important. There's a lot going on in this passage, but for me, the overwhelmingly good news here is the emphasis on forgiveness. The passage opens with a great act of forgiveness that we often miss. Jesus appears to 10 of those who had abandoned him. These are the guys who, overcome by fear, went into hiding at the very beginning of the passion of Jesus. You know, right after they had all promised they would never do that. Now they are gathered, still in hiding out of fear, when Jesus is suddenly among them. He speaks the common greeting among friends, "Peace be with you." He shows no anger, not even disappointment. Had it been me, the line probably would have been, "Well, here you all are, been looking for you. I missed you on Friday." This act of forgiveness is so immediate, so thoroughly in tune with who we know Jesus to be, that it is easy for us to overlook what a monumental act it is. Jesus immediately repeats the greeting and does some things that are the basis of our own existence as church today. First, he formally commissions them and us to continue his mission here. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he equips them and us to do that work. "Receive the Holy Spirit." And finally, Jesus gives them and us the prime directive of that mission. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Then come the words that I have always found kind of incongruous, or sometimes even quite disturbing. Whose sins you retain are retained. Anybody else ever kind of go, huh, at that part? Well, here's some more good news for you. It's kind of a long explanation, but stay with me, it's worth it. Sister Sandra Schneiders is a scripture scholar who has a doctorate in sacred theology from the Pontifical Gregorianum University in Rome. She is emerita professor of New Testament at the Jesuit School of Theology and the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. She points this out. In the original Greek text of this passage, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained. The word sin appears only once, and it's in the first half of the statement, not the second. Most translations, and translations, you know, are interpretations. Most translations add a second use of the word sin into the second half. But let's see what happens when we take the advice of Sister and take out the second sin, the one added in translation. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Those whom you retain are retained. Now that makes sense to me. It sounds a lot more like Jesus to me. Forgiveness itself is not left up to human judgment. It is the jurisdiction of God. We are not empowered to cling to another's sin. That's called resentment. We are called to hold on to retain the person, the sinner, our fellow sinner. That holding on to, that reconciliation when someone hurts us deeply, is often extremely hard for us. But we have four things that constitute a divine promise that ultimately we can do it. First, we have the forgiveness from Christ. He is in our midst. Second, we have the commission. So I send you. And third, we have the ability, if we choose to cooperate with it, to do that. Receive the Holy Spirit. And finally, we have the explicit instruction of what we are to do. Forgive. Hold on to one another. Given all that, sustained by the Eucharist in our midst today, we have a daunting but beautiful and joyful work to do for the rest of our lives.